A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The story is told of a Protestant military chaplain who spent more than a year as a prisoner of war during the Korean conflict. Conditions were so bad for those who were held captive in North Korea that more than a third of the American POWs died in confinement. This chaplain, however, not only survived, but he was able to strengthen his fellow prisoners during the ordeal. After the war, someone asked who or what had most helped him to remain strong during that time of trial, and he responded that the person who most helped him to endure was a babysitter he had had when he was a young boy, because she was the one who taught him to memorize the scriptures. She had taught him the Bible ABCs, which went this way: A soft answer turns away wrath. B, be ye kind to one another as the Lord is kind to you. C, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. D, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. E, every perfect gift comes from God. F, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, and so on. In other words, every letter of the alphabet had a verse of the Bible attached to it. And while he was in prison with no Bible to read, the scripture verses he had learned as a child became his Bible. They kept him from losing his sanity, and they also helped him be a source of pastoral strength and encouragement to others. It had been a small thing, namely the loving attention of his babysitter from so many years before, that helped him to hide the Word of God in his heart, where no one could take it away. Today, in our first reading from the second book of Kings, we have another example of a small thing that made a big difference. The prophet Elisha lived more than 8 centuries before the time of Christ. We're told in that first reading that in the course of Elisha's prophetic ministry, a generous married couple did him the favor of welcoming him into their home and providing a place for him to stay whenever he passed through the town of Shunem. For that kindness, the couple, who had been childless until that time, received the greatest blessing of their life when the prophet prayed for them and blessed them. Within a year, the woman conceived and gave birth to a son. And it shows that God is never outdone in generosity. God can take our small acts of faith and love and bless and multiply them to great effect. Consider another story from the scripture, namely the case of the young boy in the gospel who had gone out with a crowd of thousands into the wilderness to listen to Jesus preach. The young boy had brought with him a basket with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he shared his meager rations with Jesus. Our Lord, in turn, took those 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he blessed and multiplied them to feed a crowd of 5,000. That miracle, in turn, became the occasion of our Lord teaching us about the Eucharist. It was a foreshadowing of the miracle that our Lord works every time He nourishes us with his body and blood as food for eternal life. In today's gospel, our Lord says, even as small a thing as offering a cup of water to someone who is thirsty will not go without its reward. Now that really sounds like something small, doesn't it? Giving a cup of water to someone who is thirsty. But when we do small things out of love for Christ and for his gospel, God uses those small acts of love and fidelity to fulfill his divine plan. On the other hand, if we do not do the small things that the Lord asks of us, we will never accomplish the big things that he asks either. In today's gospel, our Lord teaches that God does indeed call us to do some very big things. We are to love him more than our own parents and our children, he says, more than our very lives. We are to take up our cross each day and follow him. If we find teachings like these intimidating, perhaps that explains why our Lord trains us by asking us to do small things first, so that we have strength to follow him when he asks for more. Think, for example, of yet another person from the gospel who did something small, something seemingly insignificant, which became a great blessing for her and for others, namely the Samaritan woman at the well. You may recall that last week I spoke about that woman. When our Lord first encountered the Samaritan woman at the well, he was thirsty. And he asked her for a drink of water. At first she balked when our Lord spoke to her because she was a Samaritan and he was a Jew. And yet the small act of kindness that she did, rather reluctantly, led her to receive a great gift, the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, who offered her living water. Immediately, St. John says, she went out to share the good news of Jesus with others in her village, and many came to believe because of her. I'll close with just one more example. On Monday of this week, we celebrate the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Peter's record of fidelity to Christ was somewhat spotty, and yet our Lord chose Peter to lead the church in the days after the resurrection, not because he was perfect, but because Peter's heart was firmly in the right place. We recall that our Lord had to reprimand Peter a number of times in the course of his public ministry. Peter even betrayed Jesus in the courtyard of the high priest on the night before he died. And yet Peter's grace was that he never lost faith. Though he faltered at times, he always repented and turned back to the Lord. In the days after the Holy Spirit came, Peter would leave Jerusalem to go to Rome. In Rome, Peter would labor for 25 years as the first bishop of the Christian community there. In the year 64 AD, the Emperor Nero launched a terrible persecution of the Christians at Rome. And one ancient tradition says that Peter fled the city, as many other Christians did, to avoid being put to death. As he fled Rome, hurrying along the Via Appia, Peter encountered the risen Christ, so the story goes. And yet he saw Jesus going in the opposite direction, not fleeing the city, but heading there. Peter cried out to the Lord, Quo vadis, Domine? Where are you going, Lord? And Jesus answered, I am going to Rome to be crucified with my brethren. And making just one small correction in course, Peter turned and followed Jesus into the city, there to be crucified upside down on a cross. Small things lead to great things when we do them for the Lord. Saints Peter and Paul, pray for us.